You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, this is Aileen Quinn from Annie, the 1982 film, and you're listening to Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 373.
You'd better believe it.
Yes, hello, Cornflake.
Kevin, hi.
Hello, welcome. It's movie night.
Once again, flop movie night.
Flopcast summertime movie night number one. That's exciting.
I'm all excited about this.
This is, as we record, this is the first official day of summer, right?
Truth.
That we're recording. It's the longest day of the year.
I have a feeling with the movie that we have ahead of us, it's going to feel like a really long day.
It's going to feel even longer once this movie gets going. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that assessment. We have pizza pie, as usual, on reserve in the next room. And as usual for these movie nights, I want to rush through this because what's standing between us and the pie is National Whatever Day.
Oh, okay. We can make this really quick.
Please.
National Whatever Day!
The 1st of July. Is zip code day, Kevin? Zip codes were used in various parts of the world and some areas of the U.S. starting in the early 1990s, but it wasn't until July 1st, 1963 that the zip code's five-digit sequence went national. And
is your summer not dull enough yet, everybody? Well, hang on. It's zip code day.
Fun fact, although Kevin would argue with me about whether or not this is fun... Zip codes weren't mandatory until 1967, though some would say they're not mandatory now if you don't care how long it takes for your letter to arrive. Now, here's something interesting. Do you know what ZIP stands for?
Oh, man. You know, I never thought about that. So it's what, is it an acronym?
It is. ZIP stands for something.
All right, let's figure this out. Z. I can't think of anything that even starts with a Z. there's ZIP.
Right.
All right, so Z must stand for ZIP. The I would be for an iguana.
Zip iguanas.
And the P would be for poultry.
Ah, see, I thought it stood for zebra.
Yeah, zebra. Okay, zebra, iguanas, and poultry, because those are classically the animals that your mail carrier would ride atop while delivering the mail back in the day.
And even more recently, we've talked chickens in the news. We've talked about poultry in the mail, have we not?
Sure we have.
You could get a chicken, mail it to a friend.
Mail yourself a chicken. Slap a zip code right on the beak of the chicken, and it'll arrive very quickly. What does ZIP stand for?
It stands for Zone Improvement Project.
Oh, see, that's boring.
Yep.
In keeping with everything connected with Zip Code Day, ZIP itself, a very boring acronym.
Yes. This event, this day, it's like, oh, well, okay, that's interesting. It's not really a throw-a-party kind of event.
It's kind of a stretch to call it an event at all.
Unless you don't have very high standards for what you party about.
Right.
So.
And we don't.
It turns out there are suggestions available for how to celebrate Zip Code Day.
Oh, good. I'd say step one is really stop and reassess your life.
Yes. Right. If you are partying because it's Zip Code Day,
yep.
There may be something fundamentally lacking.
Right.
I had a job once where I had to memorize a bunch of zip codes.
How many?
All of them.
That's a lot.
Yes. Because my least favorite summer job.
Yeah. Wow.
It was UPS.
Oh, okay. Sure. I guess they're in the zip code business to some extent.
They are.
Okay. So you know all the zip codes.
I used to just drive down the highway and name the zip codes,
which
is why nobody ever wanted to ride with me.
The only one I know is from Send It to Zoom.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the old Zoom TV show. Everybody, if you grew up in the 70s or 80s, I suppose, you know the Zoom zip code out of Boston. Because you'd sing it on the show, you know?
Oh, it's part of the song.
Does Z stand for Zoom?
It might.
It must, because that's the only use anyone's ever had for the zip code is that we sing it in the Zoom song for how to send a letter to Zoom, the old PBS kids show, which Boston-based, by the way.
That's right.
That was a Boston show. That zip code is in Boston, the 02134 that they sing. And yeah, clearly the Z and Zip must stand for Zoom. This is all
Zoom
coming together.
Zoom it pronto.
Now. Please.
It's a happy zip code day.
Yeah, I'm sounding way more excited than I really am. Do not get the impression that I'm actually planning on celebrating zip code day.
Well, don't get the impression that I'm not going to celebrate.
All right, you're celebrating for both of us. Watch some Zoom reruns, perhaps, that day. Not the remake. They remade it a few years back, but you got to go back to Zoom classic, 70s, 80s Zoom. Please.
Yeah.
Do zip code day right for a change, will you?
The real deal.
Yeah. Hey, you know what we're doing today?
We're gonna watch a movie!
Yeah, but not a good movie, though. I don't think. I've never seen this movie. You've never seen this movie.
What entertains me? Well, let's just say it doesn't take much.
That's true. You're a fan of Combat Academy.
It's true. I may enjoy this.
This could be on a par.
If I enjoy this, please do not hold it against me.
Combat Academy slash Combat High, a favorite 80s comedy of yours. This comes out of a conversation with our friend Matt, who's a huge fan of Meatballs, the Bill Murray summer camp classic Meatballs, of course. I love that movie as well. We watched it together last summer, and Matt wanted us to talk about Meatballs more on the show this year. And I thought, well, we did a whole show about Meatballs just last summer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I thought, well, there are sequels to Meatballs.
Oh, this is your fault.
It's probably my fault, in part. And by in part, I mean completely.
Completely, yes.
They made Meatballs 2, they made Meatballs 3, they made Meatballs 4. They made three sequels to
and
Meatballs.
No one had the good sense to stop them.
And everything I've heard about them is that they're just awful. I don't know much about them. I know that they're virtually unrelated to the original Meatballs. Two out of the three of them, I believe, completely unrelated to the first movie. And even the one that is related to the movie, to the first movie, really isn't.
Oh.
None of the same actors show up in any of these movies. The setting is totally different. In name only are these sequels, is what I'm saying.
I see.
Yeah.
So, you came up with a brilliant idea to inflict us, really.
Right.
With Meatballs.
In the spirit of the Meatballs theme song where they sing, "Are you ready for the summer?" I'm thinking this year, are we ready to ruin the summer by suffering through the Meatballs sequels?
Are you just looking for ways to get me to stop coming to Chicken Town? You can just say, look, Cornflake.
This doesn't frighten you away for good. This is all I could come up with.
Am I being tested here?
So working chronologically then, it stands to reason that we're going to start tonight with Meatballs 2.
Oh, okay.
Which I've acquired a DVD of, a fresh new DVD. I broke the seal on it earlier today, loaded it into the DVD player.
I've heard a rumor about this sequel, and I'm interested in finding out whether or not it's true.
Are you going to reveal what the rumor is that you heard?
I've heard that Paul Reubens from Pee Wee Herman is in it.
I believe that is correct. Yeah. You will recognize a lot of actors in Meatballs 2. For what I'm assuming is a stupid, horrible movie, there are some familiar faces in this cast.
Kind of like Combat Academy.
That's right. It's probably the same people, in fact. It might be the same movie. They might have just released it under two different names. I don't know.
It's an all-star fiasco. My favorite.
Paul Reubens is indeed in Meatballs 2. I don't know how big a part he has, but watch for Paul Reubens among many other familiar faces. You'll recognize a bunch of people as you watch.
It'll be really weird to see him without a bow tie.
Yeah, we'll run through the cast, of course, on the other side. After we watch it, we shall discuss. I believe the other thing I've heard about this movie is I believe there may be a bit of a science fiction element worked into this. So this is no ordinary
summer camp
movie. I'm telling you, they did whatever they could to ruin this movie.
Science fiction.
I'm guessing they succeeded on that front. Yeah, so be prepared emotionally for that to happen.
Was it because there was a trend in movies at the time?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think you'll see what I mean. Again, I have not seen this yet, but just from reading a brief description and hearing people chattering about it over the years, that is my impression.
Okay.
I'm a little frightened.
Only a little.
Especially since this is only one of three times that we're going to do this.
Unless
we just chicken out after this first night. Maybe we'll just recognize what a mistake this whole thing is. We'll see. Anyway.
What have I signed on for?
All right, so we're going to run into the next room and get our pizza pie.
Okay.
The mayor of Chickentown delivered pie here to the studio moments ago.
That's because we have the best mayor.
You got that right. We've got some, we have iced coffee available, of course, for the summer, but we also have some soda. I picked up some soda yesterday because I thought it might complement the pie better. But from Polar, you know, the good people at Polar?
I do.
A Massachusetts-based soda company out of Worcester, Massachusetts.
I know that bear.
So we have some Polar beverages. I think we got some root beer, we got cream soda, and we have birch beer, I think. So,
oh, wow.
A variety of locally produced soda is available to supplement the pizza pie. This is exciting.
Nifty.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll promise not to put any in the coffee.
You can mix it all together with the coffee. Do whatever you like.
Don't encourage me.
You drop some coffee cubes into your root beer.
Ooh,
that's a power move.
Now, wait a minute. you might have gotten me there.
Yeah, I've seen you drink weird, disgusting iced coffee beverages before, so I wouldn't put it past you. Anyway, I cannot put this off any longer. Cornflake, you ready for some pie and a bad movie?
Yes and no.
All right, those are the correct answers. Let's go. Kids, cover yourselves. Get ready. We'll meet you back on the other side, but right now we're going to take a break. Have some pie and soda and endure 1984's Meatballs Part 2. Okay, we have just endured Meatballs Part 2.
Hot gnit gnit. It is over.
The pizza was good.
You know what my favorite part of the whole thing was?
Yes.
The birch beer.
There was a lot of soda going and pizza and a movie.
As for the movie, certainly one thing can be said. It wasn't like the whole thing was nightmare fuel. Just most of it.
So this is Meatballs Part 2. The year was 1984. A good half decade after the first one.
But did they know it was 1984?
Evidently not, because, yeah, there's a dance scene. Just like in the first movie, there was a dance scene in Meatballs. And just like in the first one, it was 1979. This was the disco era.
Right.
And they're playing disco music at that dance. You know, Bill Murray comes into the room, the disco music's playing. They're playing Making It.
Right.
A favorite disco song of mine back in the first Meatballs.
And such now, an appropriate choice for kids' camp.
So now, here's 1984's Meatballs 2. There's a dance scene. Pee-wee Herman is the DJ. Paul Rubens,
arguably the best part of the movie.
Paul Rubens, his character of Albert, has several jobs throughout the movie. He's the bus driver, he's the DJ, he's the referee at the boxing match.
He's kind of their Snoopy, isn't he?
But anyway, he's playing disco music. I don't know if that was a nod to the first movie, or they just didn't care, they just weren't thinking, but...
Or they just couldn't get the rights to any current music.
All they could afford was more disco music, and so that's what we got. So that amused me. I like hearing the disco music in 1984.
The kids didn't seem to mind.
So, as we said before the movie, I knew going in this had essentially nothing to do with Meatballs, except that it's a summer camp.
Right.
Different camp, with a different name. You know, Meatballs was Camp North Star. Now we have Camp Sasquatch.
Right.
Strangely. And also, if you're going to put a science fiction supernatural twist on your summer camp movie, and the movie is set at Camp Sasquatch, one would think the weird creature that's going to show up would be a Bigfoot, right?
Exactly. No, that's too simple, though.
Not quite what we got.
No.
Now, again, so the year is 1984, and you asked if was this influenced by trends of the time. And obviously, we're just a couple of years past E.T. So clearly, they're going for sort of an E.T. parody.
And the makers of Meatball 2 looked at E.T. and said, how can we make this alien uglier and more annoying? I know.
The aliens, yeah, there's a spaceship lands and these alien parents drop off their alien kid to go to camp. This alien was like a Easter Island statue of E.T.
Right. Grab the cranium, grab the chin, pull.
It looked so stupid and cheap and ridiculous. I kind of loved it. I mean, if we were tasked with building an alien creature right now, just using stuff that we had around the studio, we could probably make something more convincing, like in 20 minutes.
Oh, didn't he just look sad?
And oh, yeah.
Just so underwhelming.
Yeah. Now, again, I love this, because I love a bad, stupid, cheap 80s movie.
But isn't the whole point of bringing an alien into a movie to make it more interesting? This is the most uninteresting alien.
Meathead, the alien. The kids called the alien Meathead. Yeah, Meathead would slow the movie down. You're right. Things got duller.
Whenever.
Every scene where Meathead shows up. So that was fantastic. What a cast, though.
Truth.
You know, I do have to give the nod to Meatballs 2 versus Meatballs 1 in sheer star power. In that the first Meatballs, you had Bill Murray, of course.
Yes.
And, all right, Chris Makepeace was Rudy the Rabbit, the kid, mm-hmm. and who went on to do a couple of other things. Not a lot, but he has a couple of other credits at least. And then there's a big drop-off after that. The rest of the cast, essentially unknown. Very few of them went on to do much of anything noteworthy. Here in Meatballs 2, we have the head of the camp is Richard Mulligan, who I know you recognized.
Yes.
You couldn't quite place him because you asked, who is that guy? I know that guy. And Richard Mulligan, I think you would know from Empty Nest, right?
Yes.
Which, were you a regular Empty Nest viewer? Because I think this is a case where Empty Nest was more of your era and his previous sitcom was more of my era.
Yeah.
Because I knew Richard Mulligan from Soap.
Right.
Back in the late 70s, early 80s.
Empty Nest.
Yeah.
Timing-wise, I got into just as I think the last episodes were going
yeah.
on
that was
TV.
Spin-off of Golden Girls, I believe.
Oh, and of course, I watched Golden Girls
yeah.
regularly
sure.
as a kid because what else was there to watch? But
until they made Empty Nest, then you had two shows.
Right.
And then there was another show. There was a show called Nurses, which spun off of Empty Nest, I believe.
Oh.
Gets complicated.
But made yeah. by the same makers as that alien, maybe?
I think so, yes. The nurses looked exactly like Meathead the alien from Meatballs 2.
Wow.
See, Richard Mulligan, so this was between his two big sitcoms, because Meatballs 2 would have been post-Soap, pre-Empty Nest in 84.
I mean, this movie was just horrifying, but I do have to hand it to Richard Mulligan. His performance in this movie, if you put it in a vacuum.
Yeah.
He was really interesting to watch.
Well, he's
the opposite of Meathead in that
regard.
He's a
super talented, entertaining guy.
Yeah.
You know, trapped in a lousy movie. He doesn't have a lot to do in it, but he does what he can. You
exactly.
know? Sure.
As did Paul Reubens.
Paul Reubens was excellent.
He really
and,
was.
You know, 84, he was certainly still pretty unknown at this point. This would have been very early into the Pee-wee Herman era. Before the movie, before Pee-wee's Big Adventure, before the TV series and all that. I think the character existed at this point. He'd been doing the character in his stage shows. Though he's not Pee-wee in the movie.
No,
but
he's not.
He's kind of a wacky character, just kind of running around doing various things.
Like driving the bus when
yeah.
all the kids are going off to the camp. And I thought, here I was complaining that there wasn't the confrontation in the parking lot when the kids all get on the buses like there was in the first Meatballs.
Right.
That's where... Initially, as I'm watching this movie, I thought, wow, this is really lacking. And this is as the initial credits are rolling
yeah.
and the kids are all on the bus. That bus scene was probably one of the best scenes in the movie.
You enjoyed the school bus driving the kids to the camp.
Well, in comparison to everything else, yes.
Yes, yeah, that's true. We're grading on a curve when we say we enjoyed the bus scene.
You know, it's in the moment I thought, no, this isn't right. And then the whole movie goes by and you think, wow, you know,
yeah,
where he's racing the kid in the wheelchair is actually interesting.
Looking back so fondly on that opening sequence. Now, what about the song? Because Meatballs, original Meatballs, you've got the kids' chorus all singing that super catchy, Are You Ready for the Summer, at the beginning of the movie and at the end of the movie. In Meatballs 2, we get kind of this goofy, old-timey rock song with this generic guy singing this ridiculous summer song. So again, they're going for like a catchy song about it being summer, just like in Meatballs 1. But this song, it just goes on and on and on and on. And the guy is just singing, we've been waiting for the summer all year long. Waiting for the summer to sing this song.
No more apple for teacher, I'm going to eat a peach.
The lyrics were not the best.
No.
But again, I like that. I like a bad song in a bad movie.
Right. It does tie together well that way.
So I know that you were a big fan of the confrontation in the first movie at the beginning. And the first movie, it's Camp North Star, the kind of low-budget camp, versus the rich kids' camp. In this movie, now they're taking it up a notch, because now Camp Sasquatch, it's this camp versus, like, a military camp.
Right. And the military camp was a bit difficult to stomach.
It was pretty ridiculous. Yes, yeah, they got all the kids are in, like, little army uniforms marching around. And Hamilton Camp, speaking of camp, the guy's name is Hamilton Camp. That was the actor who played the general or whatever. Hamilton Camp did a lot of stuff over the years, kind of a character actor and also a folk singer.
But did he ever do voice work for cartoons, say Daffy Duck, for example?
He did voice a duck. You would know his voice from DuckTales.
Oh, wow.
I was looking up the credits of most of this cast earlier. As a DuckTales fan, do you remember Fenton Crackshell?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the guy. The Hamilton Camp was that voice.
Complete coincidence.
See that? Well, you knew this guy should voice a duck.
Yes, I did. He was abundantly clear to
wow.
me.
Wow. Let me see what else he did. He did a lot of voice work. A couple of the Smurfs. He was Greedy Smurf.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was greedy. He was Harmony Smurf.
He was greedy and Harmony.
Yes. My favorite credit, when I looked up Hamilton Camp on Three's Company, he played Mr. Furley's brother.
Oh.
So there you go. Now, his second in command at the military camp, John Larroquette. Night Court's John Larroquette, of course.
In this movie, he's Lieutenant Foxglove.
Yeah, and this was a problematic character, and this is the way comedies worked back then in the 80s. Man, this did not age well, the John Larroquette character. And now, as like gay characters in 80s comedies go, this was rather subtle.
Just flamboyant enough, yeah. You would say?
It got way worse than this in many other comedies of the time. Some of which overlap with the cast of this movie. But John Larroquette was, doing what he could in a problematic, stereotype kind of a role. But there he was.
And he did well with it.
Yeah, a super talented guy, of course. John Larroquette probably deserved to have a bigger film career than he did. Night Court would have started right around the same time of this movie. I think Night Court started in 84. Who else do we have in this cast? I'm running through my cast here. Kind of the lead of the CITs, the counselors in training, was a dude named Flash.
Yeah.
Sort of the tough kid. They were sort of doing almost a Grease thing in this, where you had the tough kid, you know, with the goofy New York accent.
Would you say it was like Grease meets Rocky?
Yes, since they made him enter a boxing match at the end. But this kid, Flash, and sort of had a Grease thing going with like the blonde, innocent girl. But it was John Mengatti, something like that.
Yeah, and I saw that name and I said, I don't think I've seen that anywhere else.
Yeah, not an extensive list of credits on this guy. Probably his biggest known role was on a show called The White Shadow from the 70s. And this was a drama about a high school basketball team.
But we didn't see him again after Meatballs 2 because he took one too many punches in that boxing match.
There was a bizarre boxing match at the end. The girl that they sort of paired Flash up with, you know, pretty blonde girl, that was Kim Richards. And I knew this girl very well back then.
I knew this name.
I'm sure she looked familiar to you. Kim was a very busy actor back then through the 70s and 80s. Perhaps best known back then from a lot of Disney movies in the 70s. Escape from Witch Mountain.
That's where I recognized her from.
Yeah. She was in those Witch Mountain movies back then and some other Disney movies. I knew her best from Hello, Larry. It was a sitcom.
Oh, yeah.
Sitcom. It was a spinoff of Different Strokes called Hello, Larry. It starred McLean Stevenson from MASH. Kim Richards was one of the stars of that show. Larry had two daughters. It was like a single dad with two daughters. She was the younger daughter, Ruthie, on Hello, Larry. And she did some other stuff back then as well. I remember a movie called Tough Turf from right around the same time. That might have also been 84. A teen drama about street gangs.
Is there an alien in that movie, too?
I hope so. I don't remember an alien, but there should be an E.T. ripoff alien in every movie, because it always works. These days, Kim Richards is probably best known from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, one of those trashy reality shows.
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I happen to know she was a regular, one of the housewives on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So she became a reality star a couple decades later, post-Meatballs.
So one might say that her career has picked up since those days. Or maybe it's about level.
Yeah. She was very good, though. Talented girl.
Yes.
Back then.
So you have the head male counselor and the head female counselor.
Yes. Jamie, the head male counselor, was Archie Hahn. This guy, he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway? The British version.
Uh-huh.
He was in Spinal Tap. I don't think he had a big part in Spinal Tap, but he was in Spinal Tap. He was in the Brady Bunch movie from the 90s. The woman that he was desperately trying to hook up with through the whole movie, played by Misty Rowe, who she was a regular on Hee Haw.
That sounds about right.
Also a semi-regular in the very early days of Happy Days. She was the waitress at the car hop. She was also, there was a sitcom in the 70s called When Things Were Rotten. And this was Mel Brooks made a sitcom. And it was like a Robin Hood parody, which he would do in movie form, you know, Robin Hood Men in Tights in the 90s. But he did a sitcom version of Robin Hood in the 70s, and Misty Rowe was Maid Marian.
I can see it.
Sure.
So many of the jokes involving them did not land.
You had like a running count going of all the jokes falling flat through the whole movie.
Oh, I lost count with those two.
It's like when you do lame sitcom style jokes, but in a movie without a laugh track, and they just hang out to dry.
Yeah.
Who else do we have here? In the opening scene, when the kids are arriving at the camp, there's a mother and daughter scene, remember? Yeah. That mother I recognized immediately. That's Elaine Boozler. One of the top women in stand-up comedy, certainly in the 70s and 80s, was Elaine Boozler. She was a regular on Letterman all the time back then. I used to see her doing stand-up all the time.
So that's why her part in the movie seemed like a stand-up routine.
Yeah, she's a stand-up, and yeah, I recognized her immediately. I don't know what she's up to these days. She's probably still out there doing stand-up somewhere.
Giving advice to young girls going to camp.
Yes, Elaine Boozler. The boxing match at the end, a bizarre boxing match to end the movie.
Yes.
In which Meathead the alien gets involved using some of his supernatural alien powers. But Mad Dog, I think they called him.
Yes.
The military camp puts up this giant crazy maniac named Mad Dog that Flash had to face in the boxing match at the end. That guy, that's one of those very recognizable character actors that you see that guy, and he was in so many movies back then. Donald Gibb. He was in this same year, I believe, also in 84, was Revenge of the Nerds. Uh-huh. Also a very problematic movie in retrospect.
Yes.
One of the most problematic movies in retrospect of 80s comedies. But he was a regular in most of those Revenge of the Nerds movies as Ogre, playing the same role, essentially. He was just a screaming, crazy, insane guy named Ogre in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah, it was awful.
Now, of the kids going to the camp, a couple of these kids I recognized. One of them I didn't quite recognize until I saw the credits, and that was Scott Neames, I guess you pronounce his name. But he was the kid a few years later on It's Gary Shandling's show. But one of the other kids, I think the kid that was selling candy bars out of a suitcase during the movie here, that kid was played by Jason Hervey, who is so young that you can barely even recognize him in this movie. But Jason Hervey was Wayne, the older brother on The Wonder Years.
Oh. You know?
Yeah. And he did a lot of stuff pre-Wonder Years. Like, I remember him on Different Strokes, even like the final season of Different Strokes. He was Arnold's friend. And then, of course, his big break was The Wonder Years, which would have been like 1988, I guess.
Yeah, around that.
And yeah, that's Jason Hervey. I've got one more cast member that we wanted to acknowledge. And Cornflake, I have met in person one member of the cast of Meatballs 2.
You don't say.
What do you think? Who's left that we have not named?
Was it the kid that ended up flashing the camp counselor?
No, it wasn't the kid that flashed the camp counselor. That's what kind of movie this was.
My next question was, did you meet him in a rain jacket?
Yeah. You know, it was a running storyline through this was that the other girls at the camp were trying to arrange for Cheryl, played by Kim Richards, to see a naked guy.
Yeah.
That's the kind of movie it was. And, you know, that led to one merry mix-up after another, including this kid accidentally flashing the wrong person. No, that guy was, the character of Eddie was played by Richard Seymour. And his other credit that caught my eye was he was Francis in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Aha! Uh-huh.
So he would go on to work with Paul Reubens at least one more time after this.
I knew I recognized him.
That's not who I met from the cast, though.
Okay.
The actor that I met was the guy inside the costume of Meathead the alien.
Oh!
Cornflake, I met Meathead.
Wow.
That was Meathead was played by Felix Silla.
Uh-huh.
We've mentioned on the show a while back, but Felix Silla was in everything over the years. He has an amazing list of credits. Some of his bigger credits would be Cousin It on the Addams Family, the original Addams Family TV series back in the 60s. I knew him best as Tweaky, the robot on Buck Rogers. He was an Ewok in Return of the Jedi. He was a penguin in Batman Returns. He worked with the Crofts. He played various characters on H.R. Puffin stuff and on Lidsville. He did an episode of The Monkees. Felix Silla was in everything. I met Felix a few years back. He's still alive. He's in his 80s now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He was Meathead. That's the member of the cast that I met, was the alien. Final thoughts? Meatballs Part 2? Did you love it?
Promise me. Promise me we never have to watch that again.
Well, we have the DVD now, so we could watch it anytime we want.
Which is never.
What I loved about this DVD is that this was such a cheaply produced DVD, there's no menu screen. It just starts playing when you put it in, and when the movie's over, it just stops and there's nothing on the screen. All right, that was Meatballs 2. We have, in theory, two more of these to get through. It frightens me to say this, but I don't know much about the other movies coming up, but I would not be surprised if Meatballs 2 is by far the best of the three sequels.
Oh, no.
I'm pretty sure they're going to get worse from here.
Oh.
But we'll see.
I wanted to like it. I mean, when you potentially likened it to Combat Academy, I thought there's hope here. There's hope.
There's no hope.
No.
There's no hope in Camp Sasquatch.
No. Unreal.
That should be the camp motto. All right, that was exhilarating. That might be the anchovy pizza talking.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed this movie. Cornflake, we did it. We got through the first of three Meatballs sequels.
That was praying bruisingly bad.
It's going to be a long, grueling summer.
And we have Meatballs to thank.
We've been waiting for the summer all year long so we could sing this song.
Oh, jeez.
Cornflake, please get us out of here.
With pleasure, Kevin. On the internet, we are at facebook.com/flopcast, or on Twitter, where our handle is @flopcast. On Instagram, we're @the_flopcast, and try out our very own website, won't you? Flopcast.net.
That's right. Thank you, Cornflake. Well, in honor of Zip Code Day, we should find out the zip code of Camp Sasquatch, if only so we can avoid it. And meanwhile, we'll be back next week, not with Meatballs 3. We're not going to watch Meatballs Part 3 next week. Don't
worry. We get a little break.
We're going to space these out a little bit over the summer. We need a palate cleanser of a show or two. Don't worry.
Yes.
So don't be afraid. You can come back next week. We will not be discussing Meatballs 3 next week, but we will be here. Hope you can join us. Goodbye.
Peace and cookies.
Hey, gang, do you need another podcast to listen to? Well, might I suggest my podcast? My name is Richard T. Yule, a.k.a. @NerdyLaser on Instagram and Twitter, and I host the Nerdy Laser Podcast. We specialize in all things 90s and all things nerdy. We are a part of the ESO Network, so visit us at esonetwork.com. Also, nerdylaser.wordpress.com for more info.
And hello, we're back. It's the secret after show. This is the part of the show that nobody hears unless they actually waded through the promos. Hello.
Here we are. What do you think, Kevin?
What's going on?
Wow,
we are unprepared for the after show.
Oh, no, I actually am prepared. I'm still processing Meatballs too.
Yeah.
And I would probably just make a brief mention of some other things that I've been watching lately.
Okay.
Because I started watching TV shows,
right.
And now I remember why I don't watch TV shows.
And watching bad TV shows?
It's not that. It's every show that I'm getting into is getting canceled.
Oh, okay.
So I got into The Tick,
yep.
After two seasons.
Right. I remember you raving about The Tick a few weeks ago.
Only to have it end.
It's gone.
Good Place is ending.
Right.
After four seasons.
Yes. Yeah. But that's after this upcoming season, though.
Right.
So you got a whole season to enjoy.
But I just got into it.
Yeah.
Same thing with Lucifer. I just started watching the TV show Lucifer. I really like it.
Wow.
I like it a lot.
I didn't know you were watching Lucifer.
Oh my goodness, so
wow.
Good.
I think I tried to watch an episode or two, because that's loosely based on a DC comic character, and yet I could not get into Lucifer.
Oh, I'm totally into it.
And all right.
This upcoming season, season 5, it's going to be the last season.
Yeah.
Fuller House. Got into it.
Right.
It's going to be done. So I guess the moral of the story is this. Don't let me watch your favorite show.
Okay.
I am bad luck for television shows.
All right. In that case, I have a long list of things that I would like you to watch.
I see.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the T Public store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.